Our show coming to you from downtown Minneapolis. Downtown Minneapolis, the YMCA, where I took swim lessons, just around the corner, Dayton's dry goods department store over there as well. And just around the corner, a few blocks away, is First Baptist Church, about two blocks south of here, just off Hennepin. Celebrating its 175th anniversary this Sunday, founded in 1841 by the Baptist missionary Harriet Lake, for whom Lake Street and Lake Harriet are named, who built a log cabin there in the woods, which is now downtown Minneapolis, and where the Unitarian missionary David Calhoun arrived, and she became Harriet Calhoun, and then they worked that out together. Since 1841, First Baptist has been serving the people of Minneapolis, and carrying out its commitment to sacred music of the highest quality, a commitment that at times has almost killed them. It began when a young Italian musician named Giuseppe Verdi arrived at First Baptist as the music director. He was a great musician, but he was rather dramatic. He played the organ so loud you couldn't hear yourself sing. And the key changes. He'd start Onward Christian Soldiers in A flat, and suddenly you were in F, and then you were in C sharp. And he loved to have torches in the processional and people riding camels, even though it was not Christmas. He was replaced by Miss Evelyn Palmquist, who was just what they needed. But then a young French musician named Claude Debussy came, 1896. He was very talented, but he'd play a prelude to a hymn, and it just went on, and he couldn't seem to find the melody in a paper bag. Didn't know how to resolve something or quit trying. He played the processional, and the choir wandered out and out and wound up out on the street. Had no idea what he was doing half the time, so Miss Palmquist came back. It was very nice of her. So they got a guy named Puccini who loved beautiful melody, and he always had a soprano sing the anthem, and it was rather long. He loved sopranos, and then one of them got pregnant, so they replaced him with a Russian guy named Stravinsky, who came highly recommended by the bishop. But the tempo problems, the guy couldn't keep a beat. You'd be singing, and he'd speed up, he'd slow down. Weird chords. People looked at each other, they just shook their heads. And then he refused to play for junior choir. That was it, out he went. Charles Ives came in then. Loved hymns, but he loved to play a whole string of them all at one time. He called it polyphony, we called it insanity. He lasted 2 months, and Miss Palmquist returned. Very nice to see her. In 1921, the Reverend John Philip Sousa became Minister of Music, put piccolos and trombones in the choir loft, played everything in 4/4 time, had the ushers carry white rifles. A lot of people went over to the Unitarians that year. Then they kind of swung the other way, and they got this fellow, Gershwin. He came in from New York, very nice, very polite, hair was swept back. But somehow he didn't seem totally committed to fundamentalism, and when he played the offertory and the ushers came by with a collection plate, people sometimes forgot, and they said, I'd like a Manhattan on the rocks, not too sweet, and a Gibson for my wife. So he was replaced by Miss Palmquist. The young John Cage came, 1946, very quiet man, very nice. And you'd hear him rap on the strings with a fork or rub the keyboard with cellophane. He talked about indeterminacy and chance elements in music. But they'd already had that with the older sopranos, so they got Leonard Bernstein. He came. Very colorful man, liked all kinds of music, and that was the problem. He'd be very spiritual for a while, and then the choir would be dancing the samba with their hands up over their heads. Aaron Copland came for a few months. It was spring. Wanted people to hold hands and dance in a circle during the processional, wear calico hoop skirts, and Baptists don't like to do that sort of thing. John Williams came, and they experimented with laser beams and strobe lights. Then they got over that. And then Miss Palmquist came back. She was 162, but she was still a trooper. She died a few years ago. They thought she did. Her expression seemed to change. She seemed to sag at the keyboard. So they buried her and replaced her with her grandson, Philip Palmquist. Very nice guy in his own way. Good musician. But like so many of them, they get carried away and they think it's about them. And you just have to tell them, just shape up, just play the notes. We just want to sing the hymns. Look at Philip Brunel at the piano.